What do we know about the various groups of militants fighting the Bashar Assad government in Syria? Where have the al-Qaeda fighters come from, and are they getting support by various countries? On this edition of The Debate, we look into concerns over the rising wave of terrorism in Syria and ask who is responsible.
The Syrian army is continuing its thrust into areas held by foreign-backed insurgents. The bodies of militants killed by the army are littering the ground. People in this area on the outskirts of the Syrian capital Damascus have been told by the insurgents that the army will massacre people if it recaptures the region.
They spread rumors that the government forces would come and kill us, but now it seems that no one is getting hurt under the protection of the government forces.
The active presence of al-Qaeda offshoots in Syria has been discussed a lot recently. Al-Qaeda is said to be forming the backbone of the insurgency against the Syrian government. The leader of al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, has repeatedly called on the terrorist organization's operatives to throng into Syria and join the fight against President Bashar al-Assad. The fact has even alarmed the staunch Western supporters of the insurgents, although there are no signs they will change their policy on the situation in Syria. Among the Western governments, the US is apparently turning a blind eye to the presence of al-Qaeda in Syria. Observers believe that the US wants Syria to be weakened and destroyed in order to change the regional balance of power in favor of Israel.
The United States is aiming to weaken Bashar al-Assad's army first, and then to drain off Syria's energy so as to weaken the country to the maximum extent. And all this is to serve Israel.
Israel is also not sitting by idly as the violence rages on in Syria. An Israeli army general has said Syrian government forces are using chemical weapons against the insurgents. He has, however, made no comment on reports that chemical weapons are being used by the militants. By issuing such statements, Israel is believed to be trying to pave the way for Western military intervention in Syria with the aim of toppling Assad. Efforts are also underway to drag Hezbollah and Lebanon into the conflict in Syria. Western governments and their regional allies claim that Hezbollah forces are fighting the insurgents alongside the government troops in Syria. As for al-Qaeda, many believe that the group is in a tacit alliance with the West over Syria. Meanwhile, despite claims that al-Qaeda is an enemy of Western countries and Israel, the group's history shows us that Muslims have borne the brunt of al-Qaeda operations and that it has not carried out a single attack against Israel. Al-Qaeda's actions in Iraq, Pakistan, and elsewhere in recent years, as well as its current activity in Syria, shed light on the real nature of the group.
Joining the debate live from London is Mr. Danny Mackey. He is a Syrian political activist, and also live in Berkeley, Lee Kaplan, an investigative journalist. Welcome to the debate, gentlemen. My first question to Lee Kaplan in Berkeley. Mr. Kaplan, what do you think about the role of al-Qaeda in Syria? What are they after? Do they just want to topple the Assad government? What next?
Well, al-Qaeda, of course, wants to do the best for al-Qaeda. I object to some things in your report as not being accurate, because the Free Syrian Army, which is fighting Bashar Assad right now, is not completely controlled by al-Qaeda, although there are al-Qaeda elements in it. The U.S. government, of course, is not happy about that, and they're trying to take precautions to keep that separated. Although I will admit it's a very Gordian knot type of problem, having the al-Qaeda still mixed in there somewhat at the same time that you're fighting the Assad regime.
Let's get Danny Mackey on this as well. Mr. Mackey, what do you think about the al-Qaeda fighters? First of all, who do you think they are? Where have they come from? And do you think that they are getting support from any country?
Well, of course, the majority of al-Qaeda fighters within Syria have been receiving much support from regional countries, from Turkey to Saudi Arabia to Qatar. There has been funneling of weapons and arms, militants streaming in from Syria's border countries with other states. So the presence of al-Qaeda is known, it is certified by numerous states, and it is also stated by the United Nations and other states within the Security Council. The fact that we can say there is a separation between the Free Syrian Army and al-Qaeda is strategically incorrect and factually flawed, because we do do comprehend that the Free Syrian Army, in a military sense, are destroyed. There is no real big pushes by the Free Syrian Army, and the majority of rebel forces now are al-Qaeda jihadists, mm-hmm. and they are jihadists who belong to an ideology which is based on extremism and radicalization. So there is no real big difference between the Free Syrian Army and al-Qaeda. What we could argue is that the Free Syrian Army was a facade which at the start was presented as a secular, moderate fighting group, but now the insurgency has replaced the Free Syrian Army with al-Qaeda, known as their affiliates in al-Nusra Front. So the biggest fighting forces in Syria, fighting the Syrian government at this current moment in time, are al-Qaeda forces who have come from many numerous countries. And as former Arab new MPs envoy to Syria, Al-Akhtar Ibrahimi, he stated that over 40,000 foreign fighters are now in Syria. The majority of them are radical extremists who belong to the school of thought of al-Qaeda. So their presence is a real problem for the future security of Syria and the regional stability of other countries. And the fact that the majority of them are from Chechnya, Afghanistan, Libya, Tunisia, these are people who have fought the Americans in Iraq, they've fought in Afghanistan. So there is a sense of theater. Syria has become a theater for jihad, a theater for terrorism, and this has drawn al-Qaeda into a much bigger geopolitical struggle against the Syrian government, and this is directly supported by the Western countries.
Well, on what you said there, if we could just raise a question to Mr. Kaplan on this as well. Now, Mr. Kaplan, a lot of analysts have been giving out reports saying that a lot of these foreign fighters who are right now in Syria have been coming in from those countries mentioned there, Libya, Iraq, they've been flooding into Syria, and a lot has been said about how Turkey has been facilitating this, allowing its borders to be used for these terrorists. And some have even been saying that if NATO wasn't complicit in this, or if the United States wanted to, it could have at least acted against it, but it didn't.
Well, the United States actually is acting against it. The United States is concerned about human rights violations there also. It is working right now. The State Department is working with the Turks and the Saudis to try and stem the flow of al-Qaeda and to try to get humanitarian aid to the people in the resistance who are not supportive of al-Qaeda. I beg to differ with the gentleman who just said that the majority of the Free Syrian Army are al-Qaeda's fighters. I don't believe that that's true, and I don't think that's been completely substantiated. The United States is trying to work with Turkey, is trying to work with Saudi Arabia to stem the flow of this. And, you know, when we talk about the Assad regime, let's not leave out the fact that a report just came out that the Assad regime used poison gas, sarin gas probably, which killed 31 resistance fighters, not about 35 miles from home. So the United States, President Obama, has said that the Assad regime using poison gas, weapons of mass destruction like that, is going to be a game changer in this war, and that may be just what happens.
Well, you referred to the chemical weapons issue there, Mr. Kaplan. I'll save that issue for the next questions. We're going to bring that up again. But again, on the issue that you say the United States is actually overseeing things taking place there and is in trying to ensure that the weapons, for instance, don't fall into hands of the wrong people. But a lot of analysts are saying, how can that happen when we are seeing this immense wave of terrorism right now in Syria, the fact that al-Qaeda are across the country right now in Syria, they're referring to the various border regions as well. How can the United States ensure that the aid that it's sending, that the weapons that are being sent are not going to fall into the hands of al-Qaeda? Is that even possible?
Well, that's the question. Is it possible? I'm telling you that the State Department is at least trying. They're trying to work with the Turks on this. They're trying to work with the Saudis on this to try and prevent that situation. It's an almost impossible situation, I'll grant you. But, you know, let's be clear here about Assad's regime also. They are terrorists also, and they murder their own people too. So, you know, you have a Free Syrian Army which is trying to depose him and get rid of him, and he should be gotten rid of. There's also the issue of Hezbollah, too. This is the first time that Hezbollah is losing power in Lebanon, and this is something that we have to take into consideration also. Now, I'm not defending al-Qaeda by any means, and certainly not defending Zayman al-Zawahiri. You know, something which is extremely of importance is that the Canadians just foiled a terrorist plot out against a train, and according to the Canadians, these were al-Qaeda fighters who had their base in Iran. So I'm not even sure that we're arguing about the same thing here, because the whole situation is such a, as I said, a Gordian knot tied together. Yeah. It's so confusing.
Well,
it's very difficult to figure out who's right and who's wrong.
Okay, refer us to the issue of Hezbollah as well. But first, let's start with what you told us about the chemical attack issue. And you said the Syrian government should also be accused of terrorism on this as well. Now, Mr. Mackey in London, first of all, concerning the chemical issue, we've heard right now Israeli officials and also the United States and NATO voicing concern about the use, they say, of chemical weapons by the government. The government, on the other hand, has been saying that it wants an international probe into the use of chemical weapons by insurgents in Khan al-Assal. Now, what do you think these allegations are about, and is there any way to confirm whether chemical weapons have been used by either side?
Well, of course, the United Nations, in regards to the issue of chemical weapons, has not been very clear. It has been ambiguous and vague. Ultimately, the Syrian government, I do not think, has a policy of using chemical weapons. It is not in the interest of the regime to use chemical weapons. And even if they did use chemical weapons, it would need a force of UN monitors to actually identify and substantiate whether they were used. The closest a form of evidence we have to chemical weapons being used is the attack on Khan al-Assal by the rebel forces, which was substantiated by Russia, and where the Syrian government asked the United Nations to send a team to investigate this. This was completely rejected by the United Nations, and some of the Western states said that this was out of the equation. So we also saw videos for rebels using chemical weapons, sarin nerve gas, on rabbits, saying that they would use them on ethnic minorities, and the ethnic minorities were not safe from the use of chemical weapons. So the only groups inside of Syria who have actually stated they want to use chemical weapons are the armed opposition. To the issue of weapons of mass destruction, no weapons of mass destruction have been used in Syria, as opposed to what the Americans used in Iraq using depleted uranium, or the weapons used in Libya, yes, or even the atomic bombs dropped in Japan at the Second World War. We have to really equate what is happening. The state which has used chemical weapons in the Middle East is not Syria, it was Iraq. And also, the use of weapons of mass destruction is not substantiated with the Syrian government, as they have not used any of these weapons, yes, whereas the Americans have. So it is very hypocritical for the Americans to state that we are against Jabhat al-Nusra. They blacklisted them, yes, but the same day they started to send non-lethal aid. They send weapons and communication support, intelligence support, giving rebels more information on Syrian troop deployments, giving them wanted to give them armored vehicles, armor, to be able to protect themselves. This is not the way
Okay. We will continue with this discussion. I'd like to get a response from Berkeley. But just before that, let's just take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page by our viewers. We'll take a look at those comments and we'll be back with the discussion.
There is no doubt that Al-Qaeda is an armed wing of the CIA. It works for the benefit of the White House, even if it attacks American interests. The killing of Muslims is the only art Al-Qaeda is good at. They are very good at destroying Muslim countries and giving a negative image of Islam. Come on, guys. How can you believe that two enemies like the US and Al-Qaeda are allies to fight Islam and Muslims? But wait, everything is possible these days. As long as it concerns Al-Qaeda, we hear all the evil things about it. The bad things that the US does are not always reported, but the US is destroying its image by protecting Israel and Al-Qaeda from Muslims.
On our Facebook page specifically topic. I'll go to our guest now in Berkeley, Mr. Kaplan. Now, we heard those comments, and on along those lines, I'd just like to bring this question up to you. Some have been suggesting that, looking at the situation right now in Syria, Al-Qaeda's aim is the toppling of the Assad government, and it's also shown that it's against Hezbollah. And these are aims that are shared, they say, by Israel and by the United States. Do you think these shared interests are anyhow putting these three forces together, Al-Qaeda, Israel, and the United States? Because we have been hearing that, for instance, Al-Qaeda militants have been active on the Golan Heights. However, there's been no attacks, for instance, or spillover of the conflict into Israel, while there has been some spillover into Lebanon or into Turkey.
Well, again, as I said, you've got a nearly impossible situation. I mean, the question with al-Qaeda in this particular situation is if they topple the Assad regime, will we end up with a long-term problem, as, for example, what happened in Afghanistan? And this is a very real problem. I can say this about the United States. The United States is more concerned about the humanitarian issues here, the civilians and people there who are suffering from this. One of the things I take exception to in talking about the Assad regime in this broadcast is trying to suggest that they're really good guys and that they're doing a good thing. I think when you talk about al-Qaeda in a negative light, you need to talk about the Syrians in an equally negative light. If you want to talk about strategic reasons why someone might think that the West is better off if Assad stays in power, that's a discussion for another day. But frankly, I think it's time for Assad to go. As far as al-Qaeda goes, I don't think they should be put into power. I think it's up to the United States to strengthen the Free Syrian Army factions, which are not linked to al-Qaeda, and to work with our allies to keep them out. And it's not for Israel, it's for the security of the free world, ultimately.
Mr. Maki, would you say, however, that the conditions are allowing that to happen, that actually al-Qaeda will not be able to rule, for instance, in a post-Assad environment or gain any foothold in the country?
I think when he mentions the free world, he must be talking about Russia and China and Brazil and South Africa and the states who support the insurgents, who don't support the insurgency in Syria. He talks about the states who actually support the Syrian government against terrorism. Assad remaining in power is not necessarily an issue which has to be imposed on the Syrian people and the Syrian state by external observers or external states who've had an atrocious colonial history in the region. Assad remaining in power is strictly a decision which has to be made by the Syrian people, and it has to be any Syrian-led political process which decides whether he stays into power or not. It is not an issue which should be taken by the United States or any of their allies in the region. Whether the United States supports al-Qaeda, it's not an issue of whether it remains to be seen. It is clear the United States supports the toppling of Assad at any costs. It deals with Turkey and Qatar and Saudi Arabia. And these states are the prime states who are funding the insurgency, who are giving weapons and money to al-Qaeda, and giving them bases to launch attacks on the Syrian army from. And it is not a concept of glorifying the Syrian army or the Syrian government, but the fact that al-Qaeda is present should make the US cautious in taking steps politically in terms of the Middle East. But the US are not being cautious. They are supporting they're supporting al-Qaeda, they're supporting the extremist rebel insurgency. And the West, in terms of Britain and France, are training the Syrian rebels in Jordan. They're sending non-lethal aid to them in Turkey. So the United States has a policy of hypocrisy and double standards in saying that they don't want the extremists to come into power, yet supporting them through the very means that they say they're not in the first place. And this is not being done directly. It is done through proxy. So the United States is using Turkey and Saudi Arabia and Qatar to support the insurgency without using direct means. Why then would the United Nations, sorry, the European Union be buying oil from Syrian opposition-led towns and places and giving them support financially when they know that the majority of these places where there is oil reserves are held by the extremist opposition? Is this not directly arming and giving money to al-Qaeda through weapons in giving them a supply line which the Syrian government is trying to cut off?
In Berkeley to respond to that. Mr. Kaplan, Russia has also come out against this. It's been saying that it's against international law to give this kind of assistance to militants there. And again, the question with the United States insisting on this goal of toppling Assad, getting rid of him, for this crisis to be resolved, according to the US, is it going too far? Because a lot of people are saying that it's losing face now in the international community because of its support for those who are carrying out terrorist attacks in the country.
Let me point out something here. My opponent there is doing something that I call lying by omission. He is presenting the idea that the Assad regime is being a victim of the United States and that the allies of his regime are democracies, which they are not. The exception, Russia, you might consider a democracy, but it's really a tentative one. The Chinese and the Iranians are certainly not a democracy. There have been transitional plans proposed to end the fighting in Syria, but they require that Bashar Assad resign and leave. He won't do it. He is the catch-22 to keeping this war from ending and all these people from getting killed. He will not step down. And the transitional movement, which has been proposed by the European Union, by the United States, by the UN, to create a new government there and create peace and stop all the killing, is because of one man named Bashar Assad who will not resign and step down from the government.
Sorry for jumping in, Mr. Kaplan. Do you think then, I'll just get this comment, I'll come back to you, Mr. Mackey. Mr. Kaplan, do you think, however, that lifting the oil embargo or even lifting the arms embargo is going to help this, or it's just going to create more chaos?
I don't think it's going to create chaos. I mean, Assad has to go. Again, I'm not saying I'm in favor of Al-Qaeda taking over. It's up to the United States and the West to do everything they can to try and prevent that from happening. However, we can't stop the momentum of making the Assad regime leave. And they are every bit as guilty, if not more, of terrorism in that region, of murdering Arab people, right. Muslim people, other people in the region, and also, frankly, they also encourage the possibility of encroaching war between the West, the United States, and Iran over the nuclear issue, well, because Assad has been a staunch supporter of Iran and of the Hezbollah.
Okay, now, Mr. Mackey, we are a little short of time, quickly, if you can. Do you think that if Assad did decide to resign, that the transitional plan would work and things would actually be resolved?
Of course not, because the struggle is geopolitical. It's not about Assad's personality or Assad remaining in power. I mean, the ultimate hypocrisy when your guest discusses the Middle East through an Orientalist perspective, as if he's dividing colonies of old, is absolutely ridiculous. The fact that the allies of the so-called Syrian revolution are states which have won families which have ruled for the last 60 years, the fact that Bahrain, the fact that Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Turkey, these states are not perfectionist democracies. These are states who have significant human rights violations, who are not democratic by any stretch of imagination, states who have brutal secret services, who have a state security apparatus which has been killing for decades. So it is not a question of democracy or not. The friends of Syria, the so-called friends of Syria, are the same as the friends of Israel. Israel is not a perfect democracy. It is a security state. So we cannot discuss the concept of having a security state in Syria. The United States of America has killed more people, and in terms of humanitarian wise, in the world than the Syrian government by a long stretch. So it is real double standards when the United States discusses the concept of humanitarianism, when their direct funding for the Al-Qaeda militants ensures that this insurgency continues and that more Syrians die. So there is a direct link between the United States funding the opposition and Syrians dying. If the Americans stop, the war would stop.
OK, I'm afraid we've run out of time. Thank you very much, Danny Mackey, there, Syrian political activist, with us live from London. A big thank you to our guest in Berkeley as well, Lee Kaplan, investigative journalist. You're watching The Debate here on Press TV. Thank you so much for staying with us. From me, Homa Lezgi. Until our next programme, it's goodbye.